In fact, we have like 8 minutes for the following session. So maybe people can stretch and we can invite Don to the panel and other Universal Acceptance member team. So just to note that we're trying to stick accurately to the time for remote participants, so we're just waiting for a few minutes till it gets half past and then we'll start immediately. Thank you. So, do we have control over the slides, or we need to change the slide? Do we? Okay. So thank you everyone for your patience. We are now starting our discussion on agenda item 14 on universal acceptance, scheduled at 14:30 on Sunday, 11 March, which is scheduled for 30 minutes. And again, please remember to state your name and affiliation whenever you request the floor. So with this, allow me first to welcome Don and Lars, and I'll give over the floor to you to and thank you for your keen outreach to the governments on this important topic, the universal acceptance, which for some time it has been attributed only to IDNs, but I think it's broader than this, and it's good to know that it also involves new GTLDs. So I think it's a topic of interest to everyone, basically. So thank you for coming, and over to you, Lars. Okay.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for giving us the time and opportunity to give you an update on our work and what it's all about, universal acceptance. Okay. So with me is Don Hollander. He's a General Secretary of the Universal Acceptance Steering Group. My name is Lars Steffen. I'm co-coordinator of the Community Outreach Project Group at the USG, and in real life, I'm Director International at ECHO, Association of the Internet Industry. So we are Europe's largest internet industry association with more than 1,000 members from 70 countries. So, next slide, please. We want to introduce you to universal acceptance with a small warm-up session, with a small exercise. Most people in the room are having microphones, so to cover the first part of universal acceptance, we would like to get your opinion about the guests. How much of the content we see nowadays online on the internet is in English, and how much of the content that we see on the internet nowadays is in other languages? So maybe a few people in the room can make a guess what they think, what's the proportion of English and other languages on the internet that we would see at content online right now.
Just take a show of hands.
50-50? Any other opinions? 75? Can we see the next slide, please? So today we see a proportion of 50-50 between English and other languages when we take a look at content online. But when you see the statistics and take a closer look at it, you see that the proportion of other languages is growing. So the demand for other languages and support of other languages online, including the scripts that they are based on, is increasing, and it's important to take a closer look at it. And this is also one of the points and reasons why universal acceptance is crucial and important. Next slide, please. The second exercise we have is we've got three groups of terms and words that represent top-level domains nowadays. But in each group, there is one word which is not a valid top-level domain. Maybe you guess again in which of the words in each group is not a valid top-level domain nowadays. Maybe we can start with group A. Any guess for group A, which word in group A is not a valid top-level domain? I heard really. Any other guess? Blockbuster? Okay. We go to group B. Any guess for group B, which is the word that's not a valid top-level domain? Fake.
I know their names.
Group C. Any guess for group C, which is the word which is not a valid top-level domain? Silly? Sucks? Okay, next slide, please. So the red words are the ones which are not representing valid top-level domains. But I already did this in other groups and giving this presentation at other occasions, and it was really interesting to see that even people that are very familiar with the domain name industry were not very clear about which words are valid top-level domains and which are not. So this is the second learning of this introduction. Next to the increasing demand of supporting other languages is also that we see a landscape of growing numbers of top-level domains that we have on the market and that needs to be supported by all applications and systems that are connected to the internet. Next slide, please. So, for those who are not very familiar with top-level domains, we see we've got an original set of generic top-level domains like .com, .org, .gov, .edu, which are for a long time on the market. We've got the country code top-level domains that you see at the second group, .de, .dn, .uk, just to give a few examples. And we've got a growing number of new gTLDs that are longer than three characters in length and that are based on different scripts next to ASCII. Next slide, please. So that's a theory of new top-level domains and scripts next to ASCII used for domain names and email addresses. But the next slide shows what we will see in reality when we try to use them. So when I open up my computer and try to send an email to those addresses that you see here in the several address fields, and I will try to push the send button, then you see the result on the next slide. It gives me a warning because the system is assuming that the addresses that I put into the address fields may not be based on a valid TLD or are not based on ASCII script. So the system is assuming, okay, this may be not a valid TLD, this is maybe not a valid email address. Do you really want to send this email? So this is what it's all about, what we are working on at the Universal Acceptance Steering Group. Next slide, please. So our definition of universal acceptance is that we try to ensure that all domain names and email addresses can be used by all internet-enabled applications, devices, and systems. Next slide, please. So I already mentioned the Universal Acceptance Steering Group. Next slide, please. And just to give you a rough idea who is involved in this work, the Universal Acceptance Steering Group has been founded in 2015, and all big names of the internet industry are represented, are actively involved, and are working on to ensure that all valid domain names and all email addresses that are based on those are working properly with every system that we are using out there. So there's affiliates, donuts, Microsoft, there are Google, there are associations like ECHO, I2Collision, the DNA, there are registries and registrars involved. So you see the whole value chain of the internet industry is represented in this working group. We've got a mailing list with more than 300 subscriptions, and we are really active on getting UA readiness spread all over the world. Next slide, please. So what are we doing? We review websites, frameworks, browsers, operating systems. Last year we did a review of popular websites, like 1,000 websites where we checked if you could put in email addresses in newsletter registration forms or to create user accounts. And it was interesting to see that when you use email addresses that are based just on ASCII script, but use a TLD that is longer than 3 characters, it is already the case that nearly only 80% of all email addresses have been accepted. So when you've got an email address that's based on a TLD like .technology, you run the risk that it's not accepted as a valid email address. And the acceptance goes down to 8% to email addresses that are based on Arabic in full length, and which is also written from right to left. What we are also doing, yes please, is to create use cases, write use cases, and publish them on our website, usg.tech. We test environments and reach out to EAI communities. We do live workshops, panel discussions, presentations like now and here. And when you take a closer look at our website, you will see that we already created a comprehensive database of white papers, quick guides, and other documentation, also in technical details, that give guidance how to become universal acceptance ready. At the end of this presentation, you will find quick guides at the entrance that we will leave there. Next slide, please. So, why should you care about universal acceptance? Next slide, please. So, every website, also from public services that use online forms to create user accounts where you can register, for example, for a newsletter, and also given the fact that more and more public services can be used online, like doing a tax declaration, it's a good example that Donna always giving from New Zealand, or making appointments at the town hall, make sure that those online forms are universal acceptance ready. So they accept email addresses that are based on TLDs that are longer than 3 characters in length, or based on UTF-8, that means not just ASCII. Next slide, please. Make sure that mailboxes at ministries, authorities, public services should also be able to send and receive emails that are based on new GTLDs and other scripts than ASCII to be inclusive, barrier-free, and give a positive user experience. The second step would be that you are also able to host mailboxes which are based on these addresses. So you could imagine that it would be nice to have public services with email addresses that are based on your local language. And the final thing is that systems which are dedicated to sending, with the sending functionality of just sending emails, like newsletters or transaction emails, so-called bulk emailers should also be universal acceptance ready. So when you are offering a public service that is based on a new TLD or a different script than ASCII, make sure that all your systems work. For example, the German authorities have a website that's de.digital. So make sure when you offer a newsletter that's based on .digital that it works. Next slide, please. So how can governments help? We are asking you to introduce this idea of universal acceptance to your CIOs in your countries and in your organizations on the national level, on the provincial level, also on the local level. And introduce the universal acceptance steering group, like Don and me, to your CIOs that we can get in touch with them, exchange thoughts and ideas, and give them advice and guidance how to become universal acceptance ready. And also, please introduce us to your professional associations in your communities. So there are always people at any level who have the knowledge and who could help you and support you and spread the word about universal acceptance in all parts of your organizations and in all regions that are relevant for you. So please spread the addresses that you see on the slides, the usg.tech, that's the website where you find all documents and all information. And please also introduce them to our mailing list and also put them in contact with us via the email address that you see on the slide to get the conversation going and spread the word of universal acceptance, because it's becoming more and more crucial, as you've seen. More and more people with different languages are online and using email addresses and web addresses that are not ASCII-based anymore. So to give your population a good user experience, universal acceptance readiness is crucial. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lars, for this informative presentation. So any questions or comments? So yes, please. Can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, hello. Daniel Dardaillet from W3C. I had a couple of questions. Have you looked at the difference in support between a web page and a mobile application on the mobile landscape? That is, both of them use libraries usually to handle text input in various ways, and I was wondering if you looked at the state of affairs in the both the application and the web page library market.
Yes, so thank you very much for the question. My name is Don Hollander. So we did a, as Lars said, we did a study of the top 1,000 websites in the world and found that surprisingly few of them accepted our entire range of test emails. We then looked at the code behind the websites to see why that was, and we thought that they would be calling for have library calls for Python libraries or C++ libraries, and we found that in fact they didn't. They used regular expressions. And we thought, oh, yep, we understand those. So we thought every one of these websites would probably be using the same regular expression. And computer, I don't know how many of you are computer programmers, but they are all really nice and good-looking people and always there to help and to make things even better. So what we found is they actually went out to the internet community, the programming community, and said, have you got a regular expression that we can use? And people say, oh, yep, here, this one works very well. And they each made it better in their own unique way. Wrong, but better from their perspective. So when we engage with the open source community, one of our challenges is, A, that they don't make use of libraries. So we're encouraging people to make use of libraries, and that they are inconsistent in their use of regular expressions. So we're actually working through the W3C, we hope, and through the IETF and through other groups to have a consistent regular expression for validating email addresses and domain names. And we're also working with the open source library community to get their libraries, which might have a call that says, is this a valid email address, and get them to do it right. So right now for browsers, they have a field, and I will stop being geeky in a second. They have a field, and the programmers label the field email. And when you put your email address in, the browser space actually validates that email. Unfortunately, they do it wrong because they assume that all email addresses are in English. And that hasn't been true for a very, very long time. So we're encouraging the standards group, so W3C, the open source programming language libraries, to recognize the issue and to fix it. And once those things are done, it will be much easier for these good-looking and helpful computer programmers to not have to worry about that. They can just do that call. I hope that answered your question.
Yeah, thanks, Don. My other comment was on the difference between the issue that comes from internationalization aspect and the one that comes from just the change in syntax, like adding more character to the three top-level usual character. How do you sort of evaluate the proportion of problem? Is it more internationalization or more the sort of the format length that has changed?
Yeah, so in our tests, the longer the top-level domain name is, the less likely it is to be accepted by the applications. Whether it's this is an English domain name, so we tested a dot. I think we tested a dot tech, which is four characters. And we tested, I think, maybe dot technology, I don't, or dot Friday, Black Friday, or dot something, a long one. And the longer the name, the less likely it was to accept. And when we looked at the code, a lot of these tests, these regular expressions that people used, were really old. They said, oh, I know that all domain names are only two or three characters. That hasn't been true for... I was young when that was true. So it's not true anymore. So we're just trying to get people to recognize that the standards have moved on and good IT operations will keep up to standards. So I hope that addressed that issue. So, and then when you go to IDNs, it gets even less comfortable.
Thank you.
Any further questions? So, yes, Fong, China, please, Fong.
Thank you, Manuel. I would like to thank Lars for your very interesting presentation. A comment. I think the USG is a very important campaign to bridge the digital divide. In particular, the case in China, I believe the number of internet users will increase significantly through the deployment of the IDN. Because we have many people now in China who doesn't speak English, but only use Chinese language. And so I think the Chinese IDN is a significant part of the USG. Also, I can see that the leadership of the USG are now closely engaged with the Chinese government and as well as Chinese communities to plan for the activities in the year of 2018, this year. hopefully we can see the awareness of USG will be further promoted this year in China. Another good news is that the MIT of China, the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology in China, already started the process of setting up a Chinese IDN website to publish a policy document that is the activity conducted by the Chinese government for this whole processes. I'll stop here. Thank you.
Thank you, Fong. Actually, we have a question, a remark in the remotely in the Adobe chat room. So, Tom, can you please read it for us?
Yes, thank you. This is from a remote participant in the chat room from Ashish Modi, who says, Ashish Modi from Data Exchange Technologies India, I would like to share a case study of the government of Rajasthan, an Indian state with a population of 70 million, which has offered EAI to every citizen, and we were able to convince their CIO for adopting UASG and EAI. The same can be followed, he says, in all governments, and with the help of UASG, we can communicate with them the importance of UA. Governments can play a bigger role, and with support, we can speed up the process. I don't know if you want to respond to that.
So I'll just tell a little bit of story behind that. So India is very aggressive in their adoption of digital technologies. There's the whole Digital India initiative. And India, of course, has many languages and many scripts. And the proportion of people in India who actually speak or can use English is actually quite small. So they are actively working to ensure that people can use the technology and the script in their native tongue, in their native scripts. So in as Ashish said, the government is offering free email addresses to every one of their citizens. The local newspaper is also able to support the community in engaging using their native email addresses. And also the government of India is working to give every one of their employees, so that's roughly 5 million people, with not only an English email address, but also a Hindi email address. And I'm delighted that the UASG is able to work with a number of parties in India to spread the knowledge. We have planned for this year and next year a series of road shows where we are taking developers and introducing them to the ideas around universal acceptance, that they should make their applications work for all email addresses and all domain names.
Thank you, Don. So, any other questions? So, let me just ask, have you considered, Franz? Okay, we have Franz first.
Okay, thank you, Manuel. I'm sorry for interrupting you while you were asking a question. And I wanted to thank UASG for coming. I think it was a very interesting presentation. Thank you very much. And I think as you showed in your presentation, universal acceptance is really about making the internet diverse, as it should be, reflecting the diversity of the of the world, linguistic diversity, and also it's about digital inclusion. And digital inclusion is a priority for many governments and for many digital agendas. So thank you very much for coming. I think these outreach activities are very important. I had a question about the first slide you showed about the warm-up. I was wondering, can you explain to us how these statistics about languages were made, because it's surprising to see still 50% of the websites were still in English language. So maybe if you can give us some explanation about how the statistics were made. Thanks.
So like a lot of things, we found, and if you go to the first, I don't know if you can go to the first slide. So the slides will be made available there's a reference to where we source the where we source that information down on the bottom. So at W3 Techs, and how they came up with that number is, I think we looked at it and we said that seems perfectly reasonable, and we weren't going to go reinvent that wheel. One of the things that I think is very interesting, it's so in terms of the IDNs, it's not just an Asian or Central European issue. We think that that people in Western Europe, in Latin America, where they use the basic English alphabet, but they have additional little characters, the accents. And I live in New Zealand, and we use Māori as one of our languages, and it uses macrons. So it's not just a... it affects everybody, and I think people should be able to use their name where they want to. And so the last couple of CEOs of ICANN, for example, have all had have not been able to use the name that their mother gave them with the spelling. And I don't think that's right. I think people should use whatever identity that works for them. And so we're very passionate about working with, in this case, email providers and software providers so that people can, I think that's fair.
Thank you, Franz, and thank you, Don, for the answer. Any further questions? So I was just going to ask whether, is it a binary thing? You're either universal acceptance ready or not? I mean, or is it stages? And have you considered having like the ISO certified thing, a universal acceptance certification? It's self-promoting as well.
So I understand the question. There's a path from being definitely unable to being able to, and from a CIO's perspective. So CIOs, they have no shortage of things for them to do. We talked to a number of them, and they're taking the approach in steps. So the first step that they'll take is, right, there's all these new English names, the ASCII names. We're going to bring those in because the effort in doing that is really pretty low. Somebody does have to look at the code, but the estimates that we're hearing is sort of a day to you know, less than a day, really, once they get practice, but a day or 2 days to do the work and get the new long English ones. But they're putting the non-English names, domain names and email addresses, on their architectural roadmap so that they are pursuing that. But they're taking it in stages so that they can make some progress before they make total progress.
Thank you very much, Don. So any further requests for the floor before we close the session? So if not, then thanks again. Yeah, Don, please go ahead.
So just so homework for you. When you go home or before, let the IT people in at least your ministry know that this is an issue, and ask them to find out about it, and ask them to ask their colleagues in the other government ministries. So it could be maybe you have the Ministry of Foreign Affairs here, Ministry of Communications here, but you probably don't have the Ministry of, I'm trying to think of a ministry who wouldn't be here, but in New Zealand there's nobody here from the Ministry of Māori Affairs, but they should be aware of it. There's nobody here in New Zealand from the Ministry of Defense, but they, let's talk, if you could let these IT people know that this is an issue and ask them to at least send a note to info@usg.tech, and we'll get back to them and provide them information and encourage them to proceed. In the slide deck, there's a lot more detailed information, some of it quite geeky. We didn't want to cover it here, but we're happy to reach out. And if you think that there's a need for material in your local language and we don't support it, let us know and we'll work on that too. So thank you very much, Manal.
Thank you, Don. Thank you very much, and thanks, Lars. And thank you for coming and reaching out to the governments. And thank you all. This concludes our session on universal acceptance. So the meeting is now adjourned. We have 15 minutes break, and please be back on time. We'll be meeting the GNSO. Thank you.